The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service says 15 million hunting licenses were sold last year. That's down from 17 million in the early 1980s. According to a survey they did in 2016, only 11.5 million Americans called themselves hunters. It was 13.7 million in 2011. Because fewer people are hunting, states are collecting less money in the way of permits and licenses or in taxes on things like guns, bows, and other gear. Wisconsin is no exception. As a result, the Department of Natural Resources had to cut back some on warden patrols and invasive species control. The dip in revenue is also hurting states' efforts to protect endangered species. In fact, the National Wildlife Federation says about a third of America's wildlife species are at increased risk of extinction. So what's being done about it? Colin O'Mara is the president and CEO of the National Wildlife Federation. Colin, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.
What are we seeing when it comes to the number of people hunting around the country?
Yeah, we've seen about a 20% decline between 2006 and 2016. We were about 14 million hunters then only about 11.5 million now. So we're kind of across the country, we're seeing the numbers decline.
What does that mean for conservation efforts, the decline in the hunters and consequently the licenses that they pay for?
Yeah, I mean, one thing most folks don't realize is how much funding conservation programs come from hunters and anglers. And, you know, the excise tax that comes from munitions and firearms, as well as on fish and tackle gear, combined with like the duck stamps and hunting licenses, really are the major funding sources. And in an average state, as much as 90% of that funding can come from hunters. And I mean, so when you have fewer hunters, you have less money in many cases. And so it really is detrimental to having kind of habitat products on the ground. And it's also kind of an important part of our heritage that we're losing right now unless we stem the tide.
Are we actually seeing the impact on the ground, cutbacks in conservation projects because of that decline in hunting and fishing revenue?
Yeah, I mean, in Wisconsin specifically, I mean, the lack of funding has prompted the DNR to leave some staff positions unfilled. They've cut back on some habitat management projects. And what we're seeing is that very few state legislatures are kind of stepping up to supplement kind of the lost revenues from traditional sources with some general revenues. And so there's actually a big debate in Washington right now about how do you support this type of work on the ground, both through hopefully getting more hunters involved. There's something called the Pittman-Robertson Modernization Act that's doing that work. But then there's also this effort called the Recovering America's Wildlife Act, which would actually bring more resources to the states to be able to do more habitat work. Because frankly, right now, about one-third of all wildlife species are at heightened risk of extinction. A lot of the species we hunt and fish are doing better, but a lot of them are in trouble too. And so the funding kind of crisis couldn't come at a worse time.
Let's tackle both sides of that now. And let's start with efforts to bring more people and maybe different demographics into hunting and fishing. What do we know about why people, first of all, aren't going out and hunting?
Yeah, I mean, the scary thing is that as we become more urban, right, as folks are moving into cities, as folks are spending more time on screens, the average kid in this country spends 50 hours a week in front of some kind of screen. We have an entire generation that's 30 years old right now that was more likely to play duck hunt on Nintendo growing up than they were duck hunting in a blind. And so now a lot of those folks are having kids. And if they didn't have the experiences themselves, it's almost impossible to pass it on unless you go back to the previous generation of their grandparents to teach them. And so what worries me is that we're kind of losing this tradition, but we're also losing kind of the memory of how to do it. And at the same time, as much as groups like the National Wildlife Federation, the Wisconsin Wildlife Federation, and DNR and the Fish and Wildlife Agency there try to make it as easy as possible, it is hard to kind of get in for the first time and getting the right gear, understanding the licenses, understanding bag limits. I mean, there's a lot of complexity there. And so we're working hard right now to try to make it easier for folks. But I do think that the lack of connection with the land for many Americans is driving a lot of the connections that we're seeing around the loss of focus on hunting.
What kind of things on a practical level can you do to reach out to that non-hunter? Maybe their grandparents hunted, maybe they didn't, to bring them into the field?
I think a lot of it is just exposure, right? I mean, and you have a lot of folks that want to eat like local healthy food. They want to eat organic. They want to buy like locally sourced material. They want to know where their protein comes from. And frankly, there's no healthier meat in a lot of cases than meat that you're hunting yourself, right? I mean, it's local. It's organic. And so we're trying to make the connection in some cases for folks that like the locavore movement to see that as part of a lifestyle where they can, having the idea of really of harvesting the meat that they're going to be eating. We're also seeing, folks from all kinds of different backgrounds that are expressing interest if they're kind of presented with the opportunities. And so trying to bring more folks of color in, more women into hunting. The fastest kind of sector of hunting growth that we're seeing in the country is women. And we have this great program called Artemis. And the whole goal is to empower and recruit and elevate the voices of female hunters and anglers. Because obviously when folks think of hunters in this country, they think of, you know, an older white guy. And frankly, that's not really the face of modern hunting as much. And we're seeing that, you know, frankly, when women are introduced to hunting and, you know, given a little bit of a hunter education program or, you know, just a little bit of an outdoor experience, that they're, you know, the uptake rates are pretty high. And so we just have a lot of work to do in this area. And then we're also doing a lot on college campuses in particular. And like in Wisconsin, I mean, they're offering free classes on college campuses, trying to teach hunter safety. You know, the local vore movement is obviously a big part of that. And then there's this Conservation Leadership Corps that I'm really excited about that the Wisconsin Wildlife Federation provides to try to mentor leadership positions for young folks that are interested in these areas but maybe don't have that, you know, mentor they can go to on their own, trying to connect folks with folks that can give them these great experiences. So a lot of good stuff going on. I just worry that it's not sufficiently at the scale of what we need given the kind of rapid decline that we're seeing.
Talking to Colin O'Mara, President and CEO of the National Wildlife Federation, about a decline in hunting in the United States, a decline in revenue from things like hunting licenses that funds key conservation programs around the country. Colin, so far we've focused on efforts to bring more people into hunting. Now, how about the other part of this, looking for revenue sources apart from hunting to fund these conservation efforts?
Yeah, right now, you know, at a time when one-third of wildlife species are in trouble, the major tool that we have to bring back wildlife species, if we're not doing it through, you know, kind of hunting licenses and the excise taxes, is primarily through regulation and litigation, which I would argue is a very suboptimal, you know, outcome in a lot of cases. And so there's this incredible push right now in Congress called the Recovering America's Wildlife Act. It's championed by Debbie Dingell from the great state of Michigan and then Jeff Fortenberry from Nebraska. There's folks from pretty much every state at this point, 175 co-sponsors. And the goal is to bring significant resources, $1.4 billion a year, to implement the state wildlife action plans, which are these incredible documents that each state is required to provide every 5 years, which looks at all the species and figures out which ones are most in trouble, what are the very clear strategies that you would take to address them. And it's interesting at a time when, I mean, D.C. cannot be more polarized. I'm very excited to be talking to you in Wisconsin because, frankly, D.C. is a disaster right now. Mm-hmm. Conservation is one of the few issues that can still bring people together. And so I'm seeing the most conservative Tea Party members working with the most liberal progressives, basically saying, look, we want a more collaborative, more on-the-ground solution to saving wildlife. And they might care for different reasons. Somebody might be concerned about, you know, duck populations in part of the country that are struggling or, you know, chronic wasting disease affecting deer. Somebody else might be concerned about the pollinator populations and, you know, the plight of the songbirds, that report that came out a few months ago that showed that 3 billion fewer birds are on the landscape than 40 years ago. But I'll take anywhere where Republicans and Democrats can agree is kind of a holy grail right now. And this seems to be one of those issues. So it's one of those for your listeners to stay tuned to.
You were on a Blue Ribbon panel on sustaining America's diverse fish and wildlife resources. You all came up with a new funding model to help rare species. What did that plan entail?
So the idea would be to create this matching program that's proposed through the Recovering America's Wildlife Act, and it would basically be dedicating specific funding to implement the state wildlife action plans from the federal government, and then the states would be required to provide like a 25% match. And the argument that we're making is that it's frankly a lot cheaper to invest in that ounce of prevention than later have to pay that pound of cure. And we're seeing that when we do the collaborative work on the ground, not only do species recover much more quickly than if you're trying to, you know, fight your way through some kind of long regulatory or litigious process, but also that the benefits kind of for other species kind of multiply as well. Because if you're thinking about restoring a landscape and you're thinking about multiple species at the same time, you can really kind of get ahead of the challenge and really get, you know, great projects on the ground. And so we're really excited. I mean, that Blue Ribbon panel was amazing. I mean, it had, you know, top conservation leaders, folks from all kinds of industries, folks from, you know, the outdoor industry and different extractive industries. And so for them to all come together and say, hey, look, here's a bipartisan solution that then has now taken the next step and gotten great kind of traction in Congress, I think it bodes pretty well for our ability. I mean, nothing is a sure thing in Washington these days, as folks have seen on their TVs when they're not, you know, so mad they want to, you know, shut it off. But, you know, this is the kind of thing that can get done. And we got a huge public lands package done a few months ago And this hopefully will be the next chapter in that success.
Now, hunting and fishing, those are two ways to enjoy the wilderness. There are also hikers and photographers and others. Is there talk of trying to tap into them as a revenue stream one way or another?
Yeah, I mean, off and on, there's conversations about, you know, kind of the backpack tax and you know, binoculars and those kind of things. It's really hard right now to have those conversations with the trade war going on because a lot of the prices have been kind of jacked up because of the so much of that material is imported, unfortunately. We don't make a lot of that here anymore. And so, I mean, I think there's always those conversations. A lot of states are taking a role looking at, like, conservation stamps and other ways that folks can participate. You're seeing a lot of work around the country around, like, license plates and trying to have other people participate. And I view those as kind of like complementary programs. I mean, I think those are helpful. But at the end of the day, I mean, there has to be a larger kind of size of investment. And frankly, the individual pieces don't really add up to enough. Because, I mean, I really want to make sure that we're able to pass on the full diversity of our wildlife to future generations. And frankly, we've done such a good job in this country saving the species that we hunt and fish relative to everything else. And so, you know, I think the key for us is trying to have, you know, a significant amount of federal resources coming in that are then supplemented by very voluntary efforts and local efforts that are in the same vein.
Colin, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Colin O'Meara is president and CEO of the National Wildlife Federation. We talked to him about the decline in hunting across the nation, which leads to less money collected from licenses, permits, and taxes on hunting equipment and available for endangered species protection.